is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Cole Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Kip Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Good morning. Welcome in, Cube Show. Glad you're with us. Exciting day coming up for you today. I am Cole Kublik, alongside Arky Shea, producer of this show and program director for WUMP, the station in which you're listening to. You can also listen online, umpsports.com, umpsports.com, or go download the app in your app store, iPhone or Android. It's free. And you can listen anywhere outside the North Alabama area. Big game last night for the Carolina Panthers. This is a team that maybe kind of finding itself, maybe looking like they're getting it together at the right time. Possibly, potentially, maybe. You heard it right here on Ump Sports. We'll talk some NFL today. A lot of other guests coming up for you today. Busy day talking college and NFL football for you. But the Panthers take out the Dolphins 45-21 last night. Cam Newton throws for 254 and four touchdowns. He rushes for another 95 yards on just five carries. So a big night for Cam Newton last night. And when you look at this Carolina Panthers team, it's now one that you think, all right, if this offense begins to roll at 7-3, one of the better teams in the NFC, could they make a run? And I think you see what they did last night, and if they have that much balance on offense and they're that effective on the ground with Jonathan Stewart going over 110 yards, this could be a contender in the NFC. Would you buy that today, Arky Shea, that the Panthers are an NFC contender?
Well, you and I picked them at the beginning of the year to win their division, so that's a start. We knew that this team had options. We didn't know that they were going to trade away Kelvin Benjamin, so that took away an option. We didn't know at the beginning of the season they were going to lose Greg Olsen to an injury, who they're probably going to get back after this bye week, or at least close to this after this bye week, which would be very good for Cam Newton. And they have more than persevered. They have almost thrived. They started to figure out a little bit with Christian McCaffrey last night, scoring last night, and a running game that nearly went for 300 yards, which is effective. Now, I'd like to take a little bit of a moment to remind everyone that it's against Jay Cutler that they basically had all the success offensively and defensively, a team that's lost three straight. A team that traded their best running back because Adam Gase was mad, just traded him to the best team in the NFC. So there is some...
Also lost their line coach to a scandal a couple weeks ago.
Well, listen, cocaine works, man. I don't know. It's a drug for a reason. So, you know, I'd like to be a little more excited for Carolina in this scenario, but they're still a game back of New Orleans for that spot. Which I'm sure New Orleans fans, which I would feel, when I was a Cowboys fan last year, it's much different than this year, because the Cowboys were not only were they rolling, but they were putting distance between themselves when they were rolling. New Orleans was rolling at 7 in a row, and they're unable to put a lot of distance between them because Carolina is not the sexy team out of that division right now. They're not winning it the way that New Orleans is quite winning it, and they're not winning it as nearly as streaky as New Orleans has been Still unable to put together a whole lot of distance between the two. But it's a two-team race. I thought it would be Tampa and Carolina for the two spots to sort of figure out who came out of the South. But it looks like it's going to be New Orleans and Carolina.
I mean, how do you trade your one of your best? I don't know if he's been their best this year. But one of your best receivers and best targets. Yeah. And your offense progresses. It technically gets better.
Well, they came into the season saying, we don't want Cam Newton to run the ball nearly as much. And after a game and a half, they're like, okay, we have to have him do this. And I don't know why they traded him. I just know that it still felt like a bad idea. Cam Newton was not very happy about that. He was vocally and visually very upset with that decision. But it has kind of forced him to figure out Christian McCaffrey. It's kind of forced this offense to find him. And it's forced this offense to be creative a little bit more with the running style that Cam Newton gives. I think he had 95 yards designed rushing yards last night, which is always my favorite part of breaking down the statistics. I guess you can't count sacks as designed rushes. And it was really, really effective. And they've really turned it to an effective offense. I'm not going to take completely anything away because it was Miami. Because a lot of bad teams win games. Like San Francisco won a game.
But that's also a really bad team they played.
Yeah, but that San Francisco, that Giants team beat Denver. Their only wins against Denver. And you're like, man, I thought Denver was okay. Well, Denver's not okay. As we have seen time and time and time again this year. Including on Sunday night against New England. But it's an impressive win for Cam Newton. And that offense really is doing wonders. Nearly 300 yards rushing? Nearly 600 total yards?
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, it's an impressive performance last night, to say the least. So they pick up a win. 45-21, Panthers over the Dolphins. Dolphins now 4-5. Panthers 7-3. 3-2 at home. They'll be able to probably make a playoff push now in the NFC. And you brought up some teams in the NFC that have just been flat disappointing, the Giants being one of them. If you're the New York Giants, are you realistically considering an attempt to move Eli Manning? The only thing that would lead me to say no is you don't necessarily – if you had somebody in waiting, then I would say yeah.
That organization is a disaster right now. And I don't mean the Mara family necessarily. I mean basically everyone just below them. I don't know if you should be ready to move on from Eli Manning yet. I mean, there's no one in place. But it looks like you're about to get a good shot at getting a top two pick. Maybe the number one pick by the time this thing's over to be able to get whatever. You're going to get whatever quarterback you want. When it comes time for the draft. I mean, Ben McAdoo's turned that thing into a giant turd burger. It is awful to watch that team. They don't care.
No.
The defense doesn't want to tackle. The defense is leaking stories to the media about, you know, who's giving effort, who's not giving effort, who's quitting on the team, blah, 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 blah. No one cares on that team. And I don't think you could just stare at Eli Manning and say, gotta fix that guy. That guy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's not been great this year. Last year was, I don't even think last year was that good of a year for him either. And that was supposed to be the year where Ben McAdoo was supposed to take this offense. It was supposed to be, the goal is 70% completion. Yeah, okay.
It's pretty good.
That would be the good goal if you could get it.
Yeah.
But you're not getting 70% completion.
It's above average.
It's an offense that's not a good offense. And it started by Ben McAdoo. And Ben McAdoo had to take his hands off the offense earlier this year. It's like, all right, guys, I guess I'm not going to do this anymore. That's the whole reason you became the coach. It's awful there.
2016 saw Eli Manning complete 63% of his passes, less than this year. 4,027 yards, 26 touchdowns to 16 interceptions. Ooh. The interceptions have been a problem for Eli for a long time. I mean, just... Starting with his second year in the league, he's had double-digit picks every year. I mean, except for this year, but trust me, we got time to get there. These are Eli Manning's interceptions. 17, 18, 20, 10, 14, 25, 16, 15, 27, 14, 14, 16, and 6 this year. That's a lot.
Yeah, but he's always been a high interception guy.
Yeah,
higher
but
than
three
normal.
20-plus year interceptions in your career? That's ooh.
Yeah, but it's not a 7-year career. I mean, he's had a bunch of years. He's been in the league since 04, 03. Drafted 03, 04 first year. I mean, he's a 13, 14-year veteran.
Yeah, 04 was his first year in the league.
Yeah, he's a multi-year vet. Now, is he the greatest quarterback ever? No, but he's over 50,000 yards. He's had multiple Super Bowl runs. The team gets hot. It has been a couple times. When it did get hot at the end of the year, it got itself into the Super Bowl and won it. Last year was another year where it just blew my mind how they were able to, win games. But they did, because I thought this Ben McAdoo offense was kind of a mirage, and it looks like that they are. And they've lost the team. But that doesn't all reflect on Peyton, on Eli Manning. I don't know why I'm defending Eli Manning.
I was going to say, you just said he's not a Hall of Famer, now you're defending him. No, Brett Favre, by the way.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Brett Favre, by the way, 6 years of 20 or more interceptions thrown. So, I guess it happens. 20-plus feels like a lot to me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not a tiny number. No, not a big stretch of the imagination. But that's fine. He gets to move on to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see who they get next, to see how that offense will hum next year. Because I don't think you're ready. Whoever you draft a quarterback, and I feel...
They have to draft a quarterback this year.
They'll have to draft somebody. I don't know if it'll be with their first pick.
Yeah, to at least have a guy there, though, who could be next.
I would be very – because Ben McAdoo is not going to be the coach of this team next year. What the new offense will look like, because that can give a little bit of a new life for Eli. Eli Manning's only got a couple years left anyway. So you got to make hay. And by the way, he's without Odell Beckham. He's without his best player. It's not easy. Cam Newton's doing it, right, Cole?
Yeah, it's
Cam Newton's doing it.
Be interesting to see.
Ben Roethlisberger's been doing it without his greatest asset.
He hit his greatest asset on a fourth quarter crossing route.
Athlete's a bit of a talker.
Let's get to 10 after tweets now, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
You can tweet in at Cube Show. Best way to be a part of the show, at Cole Kubrick, at Arky Shea, at Sports, all via Twitter as well. Trophy Notes tweets in, if the Giants are a turd burger, what are the Broncos? Hashtag asking for a friend.
I don't think they're nearly as bad. They're more like a dump biscuit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're as bad as New York.
Not good.
3-6 is not great, but...
But they... Here's what I understand.
At least they have... When you have quarterback problems, you expect your team to be bad. New York's had the same quarterback all year, and they're bad. And like you said, a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame. And they're bad. Couple receivers hurt. I get it. But
Denver's weird, man. Denver's weird. They beat my Cowboys, which was frustrating, and the defense looked really good. And then you watch the defense the rest of the season since. Guys with Aqib Talib and Von Miller, and you're like, hey, why are you giving up so many points? Why are you so bad? I thought you were the good part of this team. Look, if you're not going to be a good part of this team, what's going to be a good part of this team?
Yeah. ESPN Stats and Info tweets, 4-plus passing touchdowns, 90-plus rushing yards in a game since the 1970 merger. Cam Newton yesterday, Cam Newton in 2015, and Randall Cunningham in 1990. That's it. It's kind of a baseballish stat, like 90 rushing yards. Why couldn't it be 100?
Yeah, you would think you'd do like a nice flat round number. 75 even. I would go with 50, 75, 100, 90.
90. It's kind of weird. ESPN Stats and Info also tweets, the @Panthers finished with 548 total yards, their most in a game in franchise history. The history of the franchise.
Well, yeah, that goes all the way back to Jake DeLome.
It's like, not what, 92? 96?
96, I think it was their first year. 95, 96?
No, this is not NBA where they played a season in 2 years. They just listed as 1 year.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think, 95 or 96. I'm thinking of the announcement versus the first year.
I think they announced it a couple years before,
like,
they actually
86,
did it.
They announced they were going to have a team in Carolina.
Next decade.
I'm like, we will have a team in Charlotte.
Coming for you.
In the next decade.
Hub City Vol fan.
Of Hubs. Well, I wonder where Hub City is. I wonder who calls Hub City.
Tweets at Cube Show. Get at Swain Event back on. Kick at Mike Griffith 3-2 to the curb.
Oh, we ain't kicking that guy to the curb. That guy is on today. This is his day.
Today is his day. Mike Griffith will share his thoughts on Butch Jones being fired today.
And I'm 100% sure that everyone will be happy listening to him.
Reddit CFB tweets 8 hours ago, Nebraska flight tracker update, the Lincoln Tower has closed for the night. The Nebraska State plane still may take off for Orlando, but will not have tower support. Current visibility is 5 miles. Hashtag GBR, emoji airplane. Do you think that someone had inside information that it was actually going to take off for Orlando, or are they just sitting there waiting and hoping that one day the thing takes off and goes to Orlando? And how do they know that a school administrator is not going to Disney World?
Or Universal Studios. I mean, doesn't have to be that one. I hope people know that when they hear the podcast version of this, that last tweet will be erased from the record. Oh. In fact, we're really tracking airplanes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate that we do this every year. I hate so much that we do this every year. This tweet comes courtesy of one of our good friends, Bill Big D, who tweets, Manning Hall of Fame QB, not so sure. Not so sure. It's 50,000 passing yards.
That
feels
like a lot. There's
only six other people who have done that. I'm going to go through the list of guys who have thrown more passing yards than he has. Now, I'll even go a few below him. You tell me who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Peyton Manning. Okay, now that's eventually.
He'll
eventually get there. I think we're pretty confident there. Brett Favre.
He's in.
Drew Brees.
Not in the Hall
eventually
of Fame.
Eventually we'll get in the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
He's actively playing right now. Dan Marino.
I believe he's in.
John Elway.
I think he's in.
Eli Manning.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I think eventually he'll be in the Hall of Fame. Below him, Warren Moon.
He's in.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger is like 900 yards away from 50,000 yards.
He'll get it this year.
Well, you would hope.
He will.
Phillip Rivers.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Now, Phillip Rivers is an interesting case because he doesn't have the accolades of Super Bowl championships and MVPs.
He'll have ridiculous numbers, though.
48,096 yards. 48,096 yards.
Has he been to the second round of the playoffs?
Ooh, that's an interesting... I don't know. Fran Tarkenton, Carson Palmer. Okay, Carson Palmer. And that's really going to mess up my stat.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you're right. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, it's... Eli's got two titles and Hall of Fame numbers.
In 2007... He started in 3 games in the playoffs, so I guess it has to be that. I guess it has to be the AFC Championship.
It would have to be. He's played in 9 playoff games.
He's 4-5. In fact, 2013, most recently in the playoffs, he got to the second round.
11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in the playoffs.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Mark Slaybaugh tweets 20 hours ago, 2 Auburn men's basketball staff members were put on administrative leave Monday as a result of the university's investigation into its program, according to school officials. In the fate of head coach Bruce Pearl, whose sources have said refuses to cooperate.
Well.
still is uncertain. School has not yet released any further information about why video coordinator and former Auburn player Frankie Sullivan and special assistant John Verhulst were put on leave. Oh. Frankie Sullivan played basketball when I was there. What video coordinator? Oh, I guess Verhulst is the video coordinator and Sullivan is the former Auburn player.
It's not like Frankie Sullivan's cutting up film.
I was going to say, I wouldn't feel like he's a guy that's like, hey, give us everything with a box and one. Cut that up for us. Okay, coach. And finally, Archie, I leave you with this. Pro Football Talk tweets 20 hours ago, report, University of Tennessee has interest in Jets defensive coordinator Casey Rogers.
Is that Jordan's brother?
Would that be the biggest boom, boom, ba-doom at the press conference in SEC coaching hire history?
I don't know. Derek Dooley was a big bust.
He had some name value, at least.
I mean, last name value, I guess. He came from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with the Cube Show Early Morning Audible next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As we do each and every morning, we like to let you know how sports sounded the night before. It's the Early Morning Audible.
Time for the Cube Show Early Morning Audible.
Chubb's going to town! Touchdown, I think, yeah! Chubby time, baby!
Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard! It is grand salami time!
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35!
Yeah!
He will score!
Yeah, yeah! He's got a touchdown! Kansas City!
Mr. Cold Cube.
Yeah?
You know what time it is. Let's do a little NFL action.
Let's do it.
I'd start with last night, but why start there when we can start with the Tennessee Titans?
Mariota looking, firing to Murray at the three. Murray dives. Touchdown, Titans! DeMarco Murray made the catch. DeMarco Murray broke the plane. Three touchdowns on the day for DeMarco. And the Titans take the lead with 36 ticks to go.
Ticks is short for seconds, just for the record. That is Mike Keith, voice of the Tennessee Titans. You can hear that, and that's exactly how you heard it on the this last Sunday. Titans win, Cole.
He gets into it, man.
Which means, well, he should be. They pay his bills. Titans, by the way, 6-3. Ooh, doggy. They are 6-3 and tied for the AFC South lead with Jacksonville. What is up with Jacksonville? Why is Jacksonville 6-3? What did they do? Anyway, Mike Mularkey, who happens to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, said big win gives some teams some confidence.
That was a good win for our team. Another one that we had to find a way to win. We had opportunities to do it early in the game. We didn't. But when we had to at the end, we did. And I know I use the word resilient a lot, but that's, I think, the makeup of this team. It's amazing that they believe in themselves. They just know we always have a chance to win. That's important in this business.
Why wouldn't
it is amazing that someone would believe in themselves.
Yeah, it's really weird. Really, really weird to say that. Marcus Mariota, what you think, bro?
As a competitor, as an athlete, you want to make the play that helps your team win. And, you know, it's fun to be in those situations. You know, obviously we don't want to be in them all the time, but it's exciting to see when it gets down close and it's go time, guys make a play, and we're able to pull it out.
Yeah, it's go time. It is go time indeed, as that late touchdown the third of the day made it 24-20, big win for the Tennessee Titans, who have your Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday night.
Ooh,
Color
boy.
Rush game. Cover starts at 6:30 Thursday
Ooh,
night.
Ooh, boy.
Any excitement for watching this game, especially considering this game will have the, like, all-22 camera, will have the, like,
yeah, people were debating this, and Abrahams tweeted something like, oh, only guys like Cole Kubrick would love this. I will love it. It's the best seat in the house. That's why if you watch a game that I'm doing on the sideline, you'll see me down in the back of the end zone more times than not. Now, if they're on the opposite 10 going in, it's not the best place to be. But especially an elevated end zone shot that's sort of close up, it's the best view in football because there's nothing restricted. Now, people will say, oh, I want the wide angle, and I need to see routes, I need to see receivers. Really, because the sideline angle, all 22, you can see routes develop in that?
Pretty clearly. Pretty clearly.
Oh, well, I need to watch what you're watching then, because I don't see routes developing that either.
I really only kind of see the offensive line. It kind of only follow the ball there. Regardless of that, let's go to Sunday night's game. The New England Patriots were, en route to destroying the Denver Broncos.
Deion Lewis from a yard out of the end zone. Brings it out of the end zone to the 20. Lewis to the 30. Gets down the sideline. Pass McManus to the 40. To midfield. One man to beat at the 40. Shoved forward to the 30. Deion Lewis to the 20. Bears right at the 10. Touchdown. Deion Lewis end to end for 6. And the Patriots strike again. Now 13-3 New England.
13-3. A whole lot of special teams issues for Denver.
End to end?
Yeah, 103 yards is not quite completely end-to-end, but close enough, I guess. Hey, okay. Von Miller, what was up with your guys?
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. Don't really understand what happened there. The Atlanta Falcons. Oh, God. Really didn't want to play this one. I don't know why it's on here. Cole made me put it on here. Falcons win.
Third and goal at the Dallas 3. Atlanta leads by 3. 8.5 to go into third. Ryan Sets shoots it. End zone. Hardy. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Yeah, 3-yard touchdown pass made 17-7. Whatever. Beat the Cowboys 27-7.
Not exactly the farewell you were looking for Mr. Elliott.
No, but when you don't have one of the best rushers in the league, you don't have one of the best left tackles in the league, which, by the way, maybe that's why Adrian Claiborne had 6 sacks in that game. Let me repeat that.
Yeah. That was one the Adrian player, Claiborne that I thought we would see coming out of Iowa. I thought he was going to be dominant entire career, but I didn't expect it to be this late in this game against the supposed best offensive line in the NFL.
Tyron Smith wasn't in the game, so the left tackle was out for the game, and it was pretty obvious.
Okay, most of the best offensive line in the NFL.
Somebody got to do the job! You can't have one guy get 6 sacks.
So Zeke has apparently left the country.
Well, yeah, he needs to unwind. You know, it's been kind of troubling.
Say he's going to clear his head and train.
Yeah, I don't know what he needs to train.
You good with that?
No, not really, but what am I supposed to do? He doesn't get to play for at least 4 weeks.
Maybe he's going to train in, like, higher altitude like the boxers do sometimes.
Going to Mexico City.
Yeah, yeah.
That 6 sacks, by the way, is a franchise record for the Falcons. Hard not to believe. Only one person has ever had more sacks in a game. Can you name him? I bet you can.
Derek Thomas?
That's correct. Had 7 games. Had 7 sacks in 1990. Matt Ryan, by the way, in that game, as you saw, the 3-yard touchdown
pass.
Against
the Seahawks, I think, wasn't it?
I guess I could look that up.
I think it was on Monday Night Football.
November 11th, 1990. I guess we could look that up. Matt Ryan, the fastest quarterback ever to 40,000 passing yards. Hall of Famer?
Matt Ryan?
Yeah, not
let's,
yet.
Let's
not
yet pump in the Hall brakes of Fame. A little bit.
Not yet in the Hall of Fame. Not yet. What's up with the New Orleans Saints? They are they're on fire.
Well, we mentioned the empty seats after the first half break. There could be a lot more should the Saints push this one in, leading by 21. Here's Ingram, second effort to the goal line, and he is in two with a late flag.
Yeah. Touchdown.
That's Jordan Poyer, hands to the face, another touchdown for Ingram, his third of the day on a 3-yard run.
If you couldn't tell, that's the Buffalo Bills radio call. They were not excited. Why would you? That'd be 47-10. Mark Ingram, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns for Ingram. He is not only really good this year, but for Mark Ingram, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns, happens to be the most, becomes the, try that again. Mark Ingram, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns, joined Ricky Williams and one other Saints player to rush for the same things. Can you name the other player?
Marcus Dupree.
Yes, exactly. George Rogers. George Rogers.
Heisman Trophy winner out of South Carolina.
George Rogers back in 1981. Hey, I don't know if you know this, Cole, but there are three teams who are in the top four of rushing in the NFL that probably wasn't expecting to be there this year. New Orleans is one of them. New Orleans rushes the ball really well, 142 yards per game. That's third in the league. Number one is Jacksonville, 163 rushing yards. Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette and company have figured it out.
You mean T.J. Yeldon?
Sorry, T.J. Yeldon and company.
Come on.
Had figured it out.
It is weird because remember when we talked about Fournette being a decent pick for them, everybody talked about how bad that offensive line was and they would never be able to get the run game going anyway.
Yeah, well.
They found a way.
Yeah, a little bit.
They figured it out.
A little bit. Hey, speaking of Jacksonville, they somehow were able to avoid disaster against the Chargers.
Norman will hold it. Lambeau has not missed as a Jaguar. Brad gets it down. Lambeau picks it up. And it is good. He didn't hit it very well. It barely got over, but it is good. Lambeau is good from 30 yards away, and the Jaguars have beaten the Los Angeles Chargers at Everbank Field.
Yeah, Joey Bosa with a late roughing the passer, kind of unnecessarily called, but regardless, moves forward. And Josh Lambeau, there can't be three better names in the NFL than Lambeau, right, Josh Lambeau?
No, it's a pretty good one. Yeah.
Should be a Green Bay Packer, to be fair, or just drive a really expensive car. Hey, speaking of winners and game-winning field goals, this one wasn't a line drive like the last one.
Berry with a hold to decide this football game, hopefully, in Pittsburgh's favor. Good snap, ball down, kick on its way. The buzz comes through, and the Pittsburgh Steelers come from a big hole and win a very important game.
20-17, the buzz. That's right. Brian Bosworth kicks a game-winning field goal against Indianapolis for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 20-17. That's just one of those games, Cole. I guess you're just happy to be done with it?
Yeah.
That was woof.
Fortunate to get out of there with a win.
Yes, yes, you most certainly are.
I talked to my dad last night, yeah. And he's like, and how about those Steelers? I was like, yeah, I wasn't impressed, Dad. It was the Colts.
And finally, I just wanted to mention this from Ben McAdoo, because we talked so much about him. He had a bit of an angry repartee with the reporters after their loss over the weekend in San Francisco. And I just wanted you guys to hear the anger, the vitriol, and the reporters who won't back down.
You got a pretty veteran team. What do you tell them to try to keep them motivated?
Again, we have to do one thing first. We have to take a look at the tape first. We have to figure out what went wrong. We got to address it. We got to fix it. We got to move on. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about motivation next week. They're pro football players. They need to be self-motivated. Everybody gets a paycheck this week, and we need to go out and play that way.
Okay, now that's good. They all get a paycheck this week, right?
I mean, unless the guys are suspended.
Check out what the reporter, his response.
They need to be self-motivated. Everybody gets a paycheck this week, and we need to go out and play that way.
Have they been self-motivated?
Ah, oh, snap!
Gotcha!
Clearly you suck! Someone's not self-motivated.
I mean, it's a fair statement, but it just really doesn't come off very well. So we get to a break, come back, and get physical right after this. And welcome back in Cube Show Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. We're joined now by CBS College football reporter Barrett Salee. Follow him on Twitter at Barrett Salee. Good morning, Barrett. How you doing?
Good, Cole. How are you?
I'm well. Butch Jones out at Tennessee. You've been saying that this should have happened for weeks now. What do you think was the final straw? Why now?
Well, I have no idea why now. I mean, you saw firsthand the beatdown that Missouri put on them. That should not have been the fuel to make this happen. I mean, I think we all knew what was coming. So, you know, ultimately, John Curry obviously said that decided Saturday night after that game. I don't think that's accurate at all. I don't know why it took so long, but I think when they got on the plane to leave Missouri, they realized two games left is, you know, there really is a point at that point. And you look back and, you know, through some of the coaches who have been fired in the past, You know, Derek Dooley, I believe, was had two games to go. Will Muschamp had two games to go. I guess he thought that he was giving his players the best opportunity by not disrupting the coaching staff middle of the season. But, I mean, you saw that team firsthand. I mean, they had flat-out quit on Jones. There was no doubt about that.
Barrett Salee joining us, talking SEC football. With Jones out, and we there are a lot of names that are circulating, a lot of names that a lot of people feel like are wishful thinking. If you were to throw out two or three realistic candidates that you think John Curry has real interest in and that you think that candidate would realistically consider taking the job, who would they be?
The few that I would name would be Dan Mullen. I believe he does have real interest, and I believe he would go if they offer him, because they're going to offer him a ton of money. I believe that Mike Norvell is a guy that they're going to be interested in, that he has interest in that program. The question with Mike Norvell is, do you trust a guy who does not have Power 5 coaching experience and by and large has done it with Justin Fuente players? That's very Butch Jones-ish. And that's not fair to Mike Norvell, because I think he's a good coach, but that's just reality. The third who I think is definitely a part of this that maybe Tennessee fans don't love that much is Jeff Brohm at Purdue. And the reason I say Jeff Brohm at
Right. Yes. Exactly. Sure. No. Wow. Really?
Uh-uh.
We lost him. Just kidding. We'll try to get Barrett back with us.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing about Mike Norvell at Memphis. I think he's a good coach, too. And I think Jeff Prom maybe falls into the same category as, what kind of staff are they going to be able to put together? People see just that it's Tennessee and the kind of money they would throw at assistants and think, oh, yeah, they'll be there. They'll go. But I think in order to get guys away from their current stops, you have to have a relationship with them. And those guys, I'm not sure, have strong enough ties within the conference or within Power 5 football to get that kind of staff together. We left you with Jeff Brohm, Barrett, and why – I think you were going into why Tennessee fans probably wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Purdue, it's not great, but he made Purdue relevant. Hard to do. And when you see what Tennessee needs to be, I think Tennessee needs – look at the landscape of the SEC East. I mean, Georgia's cooking, right? Florida is making a coaching change, but Florida, when it's good, it had a big advantage over Tennessee. While Tennessee's recruiting base has improved, Nashville's good area to recruit, East Tennessee obviously jumped over to Memphis and all that. But it's still what Alabama, what Georgia, and have, when everything's right in the world, so to speak. So, Brohm, a little different. He makes unique. He has ties to the region. And so I think he mixes well. The one wild card I throw out there is Matt Campbell at Iowa State. I still think is a player for a lot of different jobs and maybe better jobs than Tennessee. But if he doesn't get the Florida job, go hire Matt Campbell. Because when you guys saw what Zeb Nolan did. He's their fourth-string quarterback, right? He's a kid from Georgia. He's got a guy who is one of many kids from this area, Iowa State offers and had Iowa State off. Not a lot of them went there, because why would they? But Matt Campbell quietly has been...
Okay. We gave it a good shot and tried to have Barrett on the show today. I think Matt Campbell's actually a pretty good fit at Tennessee. One of the things that I think about the Tennessee job, Arky, is I don't know if that one needs to be overly entrenched in the SEC. The reason I say that is I think Tennessee has had success in the past and will probably need someone to recruit a little bit outside of the SEC footprint. I think you need to go into the Carolinas and up into the Virginias, and there's elite talent there. I think maybe Southern Ohio and maybe West Coast is where Tennessee's had success in the past getting some guys. So I think that when you look at some other schools that have that immediate talent pool within driving distance and other schools that you can go to and, you know, sort of do the Schnellenberger, so to speak, as, hey, I'm going to draw this 250-mile or 500-mile radius around our school. I'm going to drive a circle in a three-hour driving radius around our campus, and we have to win that area, and there's enough talent there that you can possibly win with those guys. Tennessee doesn't really have that. You're not getting enough guys out of Knoxville. Nashville's a very different, odd high school football town, plus you're competing with a lot of other schools that are coming there. You're not going to dominate Memphis because Alabama does well there. Ole Miss dominates Memphis. And I think you're going to have some wins in Atlanta, and we know everyone's trying to go win in Atlanta. So it's a little bit of a different recruiting dynamic at Tennessee, but it's not that I don't think you can have success getting kids to go there. It's been shown that you can. So I think Matt Campbell might actually be a good fit at Tennessee. Hefty buyout. The guy could coach, but we'll see if that's the direction that John Curry wants to go. Still a lot coming up today. When we come back, we'll take a look back at Alabama-Mississippi State and why it happened in Starkville.